the word of the Lord. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
Oh, you've come to bring peace, to be love, to be nearer to us. Oh, you've come to bring life, to be light, to shine brighter in us. Oh, Emmanuel, God with us. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God. Oh, you've come to be home to this world for your honor and name. Oh, you've come to take sin, to bear shame, and to conquer the grave. Oh,
Good evening. Welcome to worship on this Holy Thursday. I am grateful to worship with you this evening. I'm so grateful to see how many folks came out tonight. I'm Tim Ward. If you don't know me, I'm the pastor of our Reston campus, Restoration, and it is beautiful to see both of our campuses worshiping together tonight. It's such a wonderful thing to see all of our folks come together in one place on this Holy Thursday. So I'm so grateful that you're here to worship tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about our service tonight. We will sing songs together. There will be scripture read. We'll have a message. We'll receive communion together. But for many of the scriptures tonight, we're going to try to bring them to life for you. We're going to do something called tableau. And if you don't know what that simply means is before the scripture is read, we'll invite you to close your eyes. You'll hear the scripture being read as we go through it tonight. And then there'll be a ding on a bell. It'll be a moment for you to open your eyes, and the scripture will have come to life for you right up here on the chancel area. At that moment, we'll let you sit with that for about 15, 20 seconds to just be still in that, to experience the scripture. I believe when I have experienced Tableau before, it's a gift for me for the scripture to sort of come to life. So I hope it's that way for you tonight as we celebrate the night that our Lord had that Last Supper with the disciples. So we'll do that together tonight. I invite you to participate as much as you feel comfortable tonight, but I hope that this will be a moment for you to really connect with Christ on this Holy Thursday. So I'll invite you, as you're able, let's stand for our first song together.
Sing, Come Thou Fount.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fix upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus called me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness, Thy comforter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the path I know. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy force of love.
Sing that last line again.
Here's my heart, oh.
Would you bow your heads and let's pray together tonight? Holy God, it is such a blessing to come here with the body of Christ, with people who are journeying on your journey, who have chosen to walk with you on this holy night. And we pray, Lord, now that your Spirit would be upon us all, that we would come to know you in a new way. We pray that you would help us enter into this evening, into the scriptures that we will both hear and see, into the songs that will be sung. We pray that the message will speak to us through you. God, we know that you offer such grace. We know that tonight we stand on the very edge of the hardest night of your life. And for the way that you gave yourself to us, we give you thanks. Holy God, come and be among us. Help us welcome you, and help us continue to walk with you, we pray. Amen. I would invite you to close your eyes as you hear the scripture until you hear the bell. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean.
I invite you to close your eyes again until you hear the bell. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night.
Chose to betray the Lord, and why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for? Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain, and only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain.
Can I invite you to close your eyes again and wait for the bell? And so you have to ask, who are they? Who's here at this table? Who gathered that first night, that first holy night, a Thursday night? There were 12. There was Bartholomew, also called Nathanael. And Jesus was the one who said about Bartholomew, "Here's an Israelite with no guile." Do you know that expression? It means he doesn't have bad stuff in him. It means he's just a good person seeking good things. An Israelite without guile. And then there's James the Younger, because there's another James, and apparently this one was younger. A son of Alphaeus from Galilee, which means that he was probably a fisherman or a farmer, because it was a very rural area in the north of Israel. And then there's Andrew, And Andrew is someone who is looking for Jesus. Andrew, who is someone who is looking for God, and he had first been a disciple of John the Baptist. And, you know, John the Baptist was such a prominent person at that time, but then came the moment when Jesus went past, and Andrew looked at John and looked at Jesus, and John said, just go. It's time for you to go. And then there's Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is the one who brought the soldiers to arrest Jesus because he knew where Jesus would be. And then there's Simon Peter, a fisherman from Galilee, Andrew's brother. You know, there were three sets of brothers in the disciples. Three different sets. And Simon was also a fisherman. Then there was John, who became known as the beloved disciple. And it was James and John and Peter that made up that inner circle of those who, as the 12 traveled together, they seemed just to spend more time together. It makes you wonder how Andrew felt, Peter's brother, who wasn't with them. And then there was John. Jesus, of course, is in the center. After the beloved disciple, there's Thomas, who is Didymus, and Thomas was so up and down. You know, on the one hand, he's the one who said, Jesus, we will follow you. I'll follow you anywhere, even unto the death. You remember that? But then later, after Easter, it was Thomas who wasn't present with the others. And when he walked in late, the other said, you know, about the resurrection, he said, I'll believe it when I can put my hand in his wound. We remember him as a doubter, but he was much, much more. And then there was James the Elder, one of the sons of Zebedee, also a fisherman from Galilee. And there was Philip, who's from the same town as Andrew and Peter on the Sea of Galilee. And Philip was the one who brought Nathanael to see Jesus. And then there was Matthew, also called Levi, who was a tax collector. And there was Thaddeus, who was the brother of James the Younger from Galilee. And then there was Simon the Zealot, probably from the south of Israel. We don't know. But that's where a lot of the zealots lived. And these were people who wanted the kingdom of God to come swiftly and quickly and wanted the Romans to go away. In fact, hated the Romans. And when you think about these people, they're just such a mixture of people, aren't they? A mixture of motives. They're just sort of all over the place. Good and bad, imperfect, normal, devoted, afraid, with him, abandoning him. They are all these things at once. And it was a Passover meal, as you can see, and pious Jews celebrated that every year to remember how God had allowed the angel of death to pass over the Israelite homes, the homes of the Israelites, and then, with that last plague, had freed them from their slavery to Egypt. But here's what Jesus knew. Here's what Jesus knew about his 12. None of them are free. None of them are free. All of them are held captive, some by their petty jealousies of one another, some by their disappointments with God and who Jesus is and who he isn't, and some with their desire for prominence. And that is who is at the table tonight. Now you may go. Jesus knows that none of these men made the journey to the promised land of God's kingdom. And so what is it that they need? What is it that any who sit at this table need? And what do they most need to hear from the rabbi they have come to believe is the Messiah, the Son of God, the rabbi they've been following now, some of them for 3 solid years? What do you say? What do you say when it's your last night to say anything? See, that's what makes this meal unique, is what he was trying to tell them, what the need he was trying to fulfill, the thing that he was desperately trying to say. A few years ago, a nationwide poll surveyed a lot of Americans and they had a question: what word or phrase is it that you would most like to hear uttered to you sincerely? What word or phrase would you most like to hear uttered to you sincerely? You can imagine what it might have been. I mean, you can probably guess what the first one was, right? The first thing that most people said they wanted to hear was just something so basic. I bet you all know it. Three words: I love you. I mean, isn't that what we're all longing to hear? And then the second thing that they said was significant, was also understandable. You are forgiven. Have you ever been forgiven? Have you ever had an apology go well? And have another person, have you ever had an apology go poorly and yet the other person still looks at you and says, have you ever just been released? I forgive you. But the third thing is the most surprising. The third thing that people said they really wanted to hear, that they loved to hear: supper is ready. But when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Supper is ready. It makes a lot of sense. If I had three statements that describe what Jesus was trying to say at this last supper, this last meal, this last time with these men who are such a group of mixed bags, I mean, just sinners and saints, devout, abandoners. I'm not sure I could do much better than that. I think he was trying to say, I love you. Do you remember earlier when he said, greater love has no one than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends? Remember that? And you know, Jesus, he knew the whole time. He knew everything that was coming. He knew, he had predicted it, he had said it. They remembered in retrospect all of his predictions, but he knew it that night. I love you. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to lay down his life? I love you. I forgive you. Just think of what a powerful thing it was for them later to remember this meal and to remember that he forgave them ahead of time. He did not hold them in contempt. He did not hold them in that prison that we often create for one another of, you owe me, I deserve, you should have. He had already forgiven them for what they did not know they were about to do. Even the one who had the most to be forgiven. This forgiveness, this act, this amazing grace that we find upon the cross, this forgiveness of God that Jesus accomplishes is startling to us. Because we know it is based on his worthiness and not our own. It's based on his action, and it makes everything possible for us. Hard for me to imagine Jesus saying, supper is ready. But it was, in fact, a Passover meal. And yet, not just another Passover meal, as important as that meal is to Judaism even today, as important as that meal is, he refashions it, he repurposes it to his own measures. He gives them a gift in this meal, and he takes it and offers it to them in such a way that they will always remember his love and they will always remember his forgiveness. And these men who sat here and the others just like them, the other disciples, there were men and women who may not have been in the room, but who later would spread that good news. You are loved. You are forgiven. They passed it from person to person, and it moved from country to country, and it made this message, this powerful good news, this gospel made its way around the world and across oceans and through continents. And there is a crooked line from these 12 to all of us. Year after year, generation after generation, as people keep this holy, sacred meal, we access love and forgiveness that the world can only dream of, but which we actually have in tangible form. This holy meal, this holy mystery, this thing that we don't even quite understand the power of, and yet when we come forward like those first disciples, well, maybe unlike them, because they had no idea everything that was happening there, but we do. But when we come forward humbly, grace upon grace, no matter what is going on in your life, it's just such a comfort, whether you are well or whether you are sick, to know that God's love is surrounding us and holding us. Whether you have everything in the world or have lost that which is most precious to you, you are equally held, equally loved. Whether you are rich or poor, whether everything's great or nothing's right, we gather in this equal space tonight. No boasting, no certainties. Nothing but our humility, humbled by the grace we do not deserve and the grace that only His exaltation can bring. Our humility, His worthiness, come together. I think that while who is at the table has changed, the need for the table has not changed at all for who gathers this night. Who gathers at the table this night but us and millions like us around the globe right now in every pocket of the world? And how many languages, people like us? And you know who we are? We're a mixed bag of saints and sinners, full of nobility and purity, full of sinfulness and brokenness. A people of jagged edges. Oh, what wondrous love is this? How do I stand? How do I sit at this table? How do I come here? Knowing what we know about ourselves, how do we come? We come as they came. We come trusting not in our own righteousness, but in His manifold mercies. We are a people who need God's love. We are a people who need God's forgiveness. And for people like you and me, the meal is prepared. The supper is ready. So in our humility, let's now turn and let's confess our sins to God. Let's join in the prayer of confession. It's okay to keep your eyes open. Let's read this together, but let's, as we read it, don't just read it. Let's think about the words as we do it. Let's imagine ourselves. Let's access its message for ourselves, and let's offer it to God. Merciful God, we confess that so often our discipleship has been weak. When we have failed to serve as Jesus served, forgive us. When we have failed to love one another as Jesus loves us, forgive us. When we've been happy to proclaim our devotion to Jesus with our lips and then denied Him by our actions, forgive us. Merciful God, empower us by Your Spirit to be steady and true to You in every time of trial. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news. Believe in the good news of the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Amen. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. It was the Passover. And there was a special moment in the meal when the bread was broken. But tonight he did something very different. And they would never forget it. In fact, the imprint was so strong on them that we are doing this 2,000 years later. Person by person, generation by generation, country by country, language by language. They reminded each other and us, he took the bread and he broke it. He praised God, giving thanks to God. But then he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper, he took a cup, and it was a special cup of the Passover. Many believe it was what's called the Elijah cup. The cup that's placed in hope that the prophet will come again and bring the kingdom of God in its fullness. He lifts it to God and he blesses God. But then he turns to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, and it's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, dear Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. We pray your blessing upon this holy meal. Consecrate this to us. Be present with us this night, that we might know the blessing of your presence as a sacrament. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one, O Lord, with each other in unity. Make us one with the world in all of its suffering and its poverty and its joy. And make us one in ministry with you, that you, holy God, would enliven our souls, forgive us of our sins, repair our wounds, and prepare us for eternity itself. This we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, if those who are serving would come forward.
The ushers will direct us when it's time. If you have a child who'd rather not receive communion, put your hand over their head and we'll give them the blessing of the church. And I think that's all.
You are the bread of life. You are the bread of life. Never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You are the bread of life, Jesus. You are the bread of life. You are the bread. Life. You are the bread of life. comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You are the bread of life, Jesus. You are the bread of life. This is my body that was broken. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take it, eat it, drink it. Remember me. You are the bread of life. You are the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You are the bread of life, Jesus. You are the bread of life.
Take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remember our worship leads to communion. Oh, respond to your invitation. We remember you. See his body, see his blood. Know that he is overcome every trial we will face. And none too lost to be saved. None too broken nor ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. We remember Our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We respond to your invitation. We respond to your invitation. We remember
to your invitation. We remember.
I have said some of this to you, some of you on Sunday mornings. Sometimes when you serve communion, it's just remarkable. Because you actually, as you serve communion sometimes, you actually sense that you understand how much God loves these people. And you're placing the body of Christ in their hands. You're holding a cup of communion. And person after person comes, and I've been here a while. I know a lot of people's stories. And one by one, I think of all the times that you've been so faithful to God, and I think about all the times God's been so faithful to you. And I know some of you, even tonight, are just praying that God is near. And oh, how the Lord is near to us and all God's children. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, may your love wash over us. May your mercy be an ever-present help in times of trouble. May your forgiveness be a reality which we embrace, that we not only receive your forgiveness, but we release ourselves from all those regrets that we hold so close. Lord Jesus, let us walk with you. Let us walk with you that we might know your mercies. Thank you for this holy meal. It is for us sustenance for the journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we continue the story from the Gospel of John, I'm going to read to you another scripture. You don't have to close your eyes for this one. There is no tableau. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you truly lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times.
Hey.
I'm going to invite you to close your eyes one more time. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
though this night comes to an end. The disciples have shared the meal, just as we have. Christ has said, "Remember me." But what Christ knows is he's going to a very difficult place. And so as we conclude our service for tonight with the disciples, we're going to turn the corner and we're going to head towards Good Friday. And for them, it started in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I ask, just turn your attention to the song that Megan will sing in the garden.
To his knees, the light and hope of all the world is overwhelmed with grief. What nameless horrors must he see to cry out in the garden? Oh, take this cup away from me. Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. To know each friend would fall away and heaven's voice be still. For hell to have its vengeful day upon Golgotha's hill. No words describe the Savior's plight, to be by God forsaken, to wilt that love are satisfied, every sin is paid, till every sin is paid. Wretched place, what kept him on this road? His love for Adam's cursed race, for every broken soul. No sin too slight to overlook, no crime too great to carry. All
And so we gather tomorrow night at 7:30. Go in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.